Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God bless the reading of his word. Today's topic for the sermon is spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Pastor Paul.
Before we study the word of God, let us continue worshiping him with prayer. So please join me as I lead you in praying to God. Gracious Lord, merciful Father, we approach your throne of grace through Christ Jesus our Lord, because we want to find grace and receive mercy. Heavenly Father, you are the one who have created us, and you are the one who have saved us in Christ. And so you know us through and through. You know our weaknesses and shortcomings. We thank you for being patient with us, and we thank you for not finishing with us yet. We know that you will continue to shape and mold us till the day we see you face to face. Lord, give us humility. Give us willingness. And may we all surrender our will, our whole being to you, so that your work will make complete in us. And may we all really become the masterpiece of your redemption, giving glory to you, shining for you before the world. O Lord, we come to you with some needs. We thank you for your wonderful provisions every day, be they physical, emotional, and spiritual. We believe and trust that we can always come to you and pour out our hearts to you, and you will hear our prayers. So, Lord, we pray for the James and Ark Fellowship groups as they worship you, even at this moment in the retreat. We thank you for giving them this time when they can be quiet together as your people to worship you, to have fellowship with one another. Lord, may you speak to them through your Holy Spirit. Help them understand your plan for their lives. May they all come back refreshed and rejuvenated, recharged, and be ready to live for you. As for us who are here this morning, we have other needs too, whether it is from work or whether it is from family. Lord, we thank you for being all-present, all-knowing, and all-powerful. And we know that you love us, and you will meet our needs according to your will. And so may we all look forward to how you are going to bless us throughout this week as we live for you at work, in school, or at home, or wherever we may be. Lord, we also pray for our church as we enter into a new quarter of ministries. We pray that you will bless our Sunday school, our fellowship meetings, and our worship services. May we all really join our minds and hearts together as one person to serve you and to minister to one another. Lord, may you build up this body of yours here at the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. We pray also for the deacon election that is going to take place in October next month. We pray that you will really move the minds and hearts of those people we have been approaching, contacting. May they understand your will so that they be ready to stand for election. As for those who have already accepted the invitation, we pray that you will bless them too. Lord, may this election be completed according to your plan for this church. And we pray that you will bless the pastoral staff and the deacons as they continue to work together to serve you and your people into next year. Lord, we also pray for other needs around the world. We remember some of our loved ones who are in Hong Kong. There is a superstorm. Lord, it is a very powerful storm, and we just pray that you will spare Hong Kong and the neighborhood vicinity. May you minimize the damage and the loss of life. Lord, we continue to pray for the situation in Syria. We thank God that you know, there's some progress, some movement in the right direction. But Lord, you are the one who put people in position of authority and power. So may you really take control of their hearts and minds so that they really have that sense of fear of God and do the right thing according to your will. And Lord, as we open our Bible to the book of Hebrews today, we ask that your Holy Spirit will illumine our minds and open our hearts, and may we all have this teachable spirit and this humility to hear your word. Lord, may your word nourish our soul, our spirit, and our whole being. And may we all really truly understand what it means to live by the word that proceeds from your mouth every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible, I ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 to 25 once again. So please turn to that passage, whether it is a Bible in your hand or your iPhone or whatever gadget you have. I hope that you get the right version because there are so many different versions on the internet, and sometimes the translation is very bad. And so please look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25. As you look at verse 19, right off the bat, you see this word, therefore. It is a connective, it is an adverb. Now, this word marks the turning point of the entire book of Hebrews. The author uses this word to mark the beginning of a new segment of his writing. Previous to this word, the author has been using different angles, using different perspectives to compare the two religions of the day, and that is Christianity and Judaism. And from chapter 9 to the first half of chapter 10, he pushes this comparison to a climax, and that is he clearly states to his readers that Jesus Christ is the one and only Lamb of God that God has prepared to redeem the world from sin by sacrificing himself on the cross. Jesus Christ, once and for all, shed his precious blood, broke his body to cleanse all those who believe in him and receive him as a savior from all sins. Now, after this comparison from chapter 10, verse 19 onward to the end of the book, that is chapter 13, the author begins to talk about how believers of Jesus Christ, having received this new life, to really live out the true meaning of their life in Christ. Now, in today's passage, chapter 10, verse 19 to the first part of verse 22, he states once again firmly and clearly that Jesus Christ is the author of our new life. Our new life is firmly founded in Jesus Christ. And from the second half of verse 22 to verse 25, he gives us three exhortations. The first exhortation is found in the second half of verse 22. There he says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere faith in full assurance of faith." Now, this is related to coming close to God, and this is connected to our personal devotion and corporate worship, just as what we are doing at this moment. We worship God personally at home or wherever we may be, and then we come together regularly to God's house to worship him. This is the first exhortation. And then the second exhortation is found in verse 23. There he says, "Let us hold unswervingly the hope we profess." And this exhortation is related to standing firmly on the truth. We as Christians should not really let whatever happens to us in life destroy our hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. We don't need to give up. We don't need to feel despair, because the one we believe in, God our Father in heaven, is faithful, and he has promised to save us to the end. And then comes the third exhortation, found in verses 24 to 25. It's rather long, and so I ask you to follow along. I read these two verses again. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, this exhortation is related to body life. None of us are an island. We need to belong to a group. We need to belong to a body. In this case, the body of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to focus on this third exhortation about body life. And let us, study these two verses together and see what God is saying to us. Now, in verse 24, the author says, "Let us consider how." Now, why does he give this exhortation to his readers? Well, let's look back on the history in the first century. In those days, the Christians were facing two persecutions, one coming from the Roman government and the other coming from the Judaism, the Jewish leaders of the day. In chapter 10, verse 32 to 37, there he describes some of the sufferings, some of the persecutions that believers of Jesus Christ were faced with in those days. Many of them, for the sake of the truth, because they really wanted to become true, they really wanted to be true followers of Jesus Christ, they suffered a lot. They were well-to-do, but they lost everything. They became poor. They owned a lot of properties, but for the sake of the faith, they lost all those. And so, in that kind of situation, the author encouraged the readers, the Christians of the day, let us consider how to spur one another on toward love and good deed, so that even in the midst of sufferings, in the midst of any unpleasant, unfavorable situations, all Christians can still remain strong in the faith. They can still stand firm in the faith without losing hope, without getting despair, and they still really keep hold fast unswervingly that hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, spurring one another on toward love and good deed is a corporate thing. We need to do it together. It's a corporate action that we need to take together. And that's why the author encourages his readers, and I believe encourages us today, not to give up meeting all together. Now, sometimes we may not be able to come to church to worship God. It's not because we wanted to, but sometimes because of other, you know, responsibilities and other things that happen suddenly that prevent us from coming to church to worship God. And yet, there is that thing called habit, right? Yeah, habit in the Bible is translated or can be translated as a matter of fact, or as a rule, as a regulation. That is something you do regularly. Now, sometimes we don't come to church as a habit because we don't think much about, you know, this anymore. We think, oh, it's okay. You know, today is Sunday. Yesterday, I worked very late, and throughout the week, I didn't get enough sleep. Today is Sunday. Wow, what better time to sleep in than today? And so we just think that, oh, well, we think nothing about it. And by, it becomes a habit. It's like, you know, as a matter of fact, it's like something that we do regularly. And for those of us who truly have that desire to come before God, to worship God every Sunday, if we should miss once or twice, then we may not feel, you know, right in our heart. We may feel that there's something missing in my life for that week. And so there is that kind of unspoken rebuke, you may say, in our lives. But for those who have really, you know, so-called developed this kind of habit of not coming to church, that kind of rebuke has lost its power. That kind of rebuke has lost its effect because it doesn't work on people like that. And so, brothers and sisters, coming to church is a habit, but more so, it's really a true expression of our life in Jesus Christ. It should be our desire to worship God on a personal basis, but it should also be our desire to worship God corporately, because there is something about living this new life in Jesus Christ, which can only be fully expressed when we come to corporate worship. But coming to church is not just for worshiping God. There is something more important, something more essential. And that is all of us who are believers of Jesus Christ need body life. We need to live out this new life in a fellowship setting. Because we are all accountable to God. We are all accountable to one another when it comes to our growth in Christ. Now, there is this elder in Africa who once admonished all the believers in his church. He said to them, you know, in this you know, grass hut, there is warmth, there is light, there is joy. What is the secret? Well, the secret is because in the center of our hut, there is this fire burning brightly, brilliantly. Now, if we should put all the wood together, then the fire would keep burning brilliantly. However, if one piece of wood should fall out from this pile of wood, that piece of wood would extinguish very quickly, and then all you see will be just the smoldering, and eventually that piece of wood will become useless. The elder, the African elder, continues. This is just like body life. This is like Christian life. We need to stick together. We need to be connected in Christ together so that we continue to enjoy this warmth. We continue to have this light. We continue to share the joy that we have in Christ. If any one of us should depart, should leave the group, then he or she will grow cold. He or she will grow weak. And perhaps in our midst, there are people who think like this. Well, wherever there is a gathering of people, there's bound to be friction, there's bound to be conflict, there's bound to be issues. And so, I just want to come to the Sunday service only. Because in the Sunday service, as what you guys are doing right now, you know, you are sitting very straight up and you are listening to me, but there is not much interaction between you and your neighbor. And so some people say, oh, why don't I just come to the Sunday service? Then I don't need to interact with anybody. Now, of course, when there is a gathering, a collection of people, there's bound to be problems. There's bound to be issues. God's church is no exception. You know, there's bound to be conflict, friction, or whatever the problem may be. Because the church is composed of sinners like you and me. And we all have shortcomings. We all have our weaknesses. Now, even though that being the case, we should not use that as an excuse for shying away from collective worship, from getting together with our brothers and sisters. Rather, we should really face up to all these friction, conflict, and issues boldly to solve the problems together, to really deal with the matters together. Because through this kind of exercise, through finding solutions and finding answers, then we can grow together and our faith will become strong as a result. Isn't that true? I just like what that African lead elder said. When one piece of wood should fall out from that pile of wood, that piece of wood would grow cold, would grow weak. But together, if we stick together, despite all the problems, we can still grow together. And the problems can only strengthen us, can only refine us, can only make us better Christians in Jesus Christ. Or maybe some of us are experiencing difficulties in school, at work, in family, and we may have, you know, relationship problems, and we become disappointed, we get despair, we feel defeated, we feel hurt, we feel lost in life, we don't know, you know, what to do, where to go. And that's exactly why we need fellowship. That's exactly why we need body life. When we get together, then we can help each other timely, we can help each other properly to bear each other's burden, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And when we are able to take care of each other in this manner, and when we are able to really practice spurring one another on towards love and good deeds, then we'll be able to really live out the true meaning of our new life in Jesus Christ. Now, this type of body life is wonderful. This type of body life is unique. It cannot be replaced or substituted by any other activities in church. I want you to turn to the book of Philippians with me. Let us look at chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and to review once again, to reflect once again on the teaching of the Bible concerning body life in Jesus Christ. Now, it's a familiar passage. It's a familiar passage, and I know, you know, in the English service, we seldom read scripture passages together, but I like to do that. I like to invite you to read this passage together in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. All right? So please join me. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Yes, there's no substitute, there is no replacement for body life. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the author mentions that we should spur one another on toward love. What does that mean? That means in each of us, in you and in me, there is love. The Bible says we love because God first loved us. But sometimes this love is latent. This love is so inactive, and it needs to be stirred up. It needs to be spurred. And so, well, let me share this a story with you and see, you know, how we can really stir up one another. Now, in one of the U.S. Customs collection center, there is a large number of bicycles that the customs officers have confiscated. I don't know why, all right, but it's a true story, right? And so they announced to the public that there will be an auction for all these bicycles. And so when the auction began, of course, people would want to bid on their favorite bicycle. At the beginning of every bid, every auction, I mean, for every bicycle, there was this 10-year-old boy. He would always be the first one to bid. He said $5 or $5. And then he would look at all the other people bidding, and eventually that 10-year-old boy would lose that particular bike to a person who would bid $30 or $40 for the bike. Now, this went on for some time. And when the auction took a break. The auctioneer approached the boy, you know, asked him, you know, how come you didn't bid higher? You know what the boy said? The boy said, I've got only $5. I haven't got any more money. And so after the break, the auction began again. And as before, the boy looked at that particular bike on the stand, and he was the first one to bid again, $5. But then, as the auction continued, the boy would lose the bike to a higher bidder. By and by, people in the auction noticed that the boy was always the first one to bid. And they also noticed the result of that particular auction for that particular bike. And when the auction came to almost an end on that day, there was one last bike to be auctioned off. And it's a very beautiful bike. It's a very good-looking bike. And the body of the bike just looked like new. And there were so many gadgets, you know, the 10-speed, very fancy brakes. And there was this a speedometer showing the speed of the bike. And then there were, you know, different light settings for riding the bike at night. And so the auctioneer began the bidding. He said, who would put in the first bid? And again, that 10-year-old boy standing right up front. Yeah, he almost lost his hope for, you know, getting any bike. He said, $5. $5. And the auctioneer just stopped. He stopped. The whole auction came to a halt. And at that time, all the people present in the hall focused on the bike, on the boy. Nobody said anything. Nobody raised his hand. Nobody, put in any more bid. And so, after that, the auctioneer said, $5 once, $5 twice, and $5 sold. Right? And when he made that announcement, you know what happened? The whole auction center erupted into elation. Wow! Everybody clapped, right? And so the little boy came forward with that $5 bill in his hand. And he handed the bill to the auctioneer, and he got the bike. And no doubt in his mind, he got the most beautiful, the best bike in the world. And his smile was all over his face. He was smiling from year to year. You know, brothers and sisters, there are times when we want to beat other people. There are times when we want to, you know, surpass other people. There are times when we want to show other people that we are better and you are not. But have we ever thought about how we can really build up other people? How we can support other people so that they can live out really that quality of life in them? You know, coming together to live body life together will enable us to see other people's needs, to hear other people's actions of to see other people's actions of life, and to hear other people's testimonies about how they fall and they get help, how they reach out to other people and help others. That's how we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You know, Jesus Christ rebukes people, rebukes his followers who don't have love, who have grown cold in their relationship with him. And Jesus Christ also warns us, in the end times, there will be many unlawful things happening. And as a result of that, people's love will grow colder and colder. Now, it is true. You know, many things are happening around the world that really distract us away from God, that really, you know, preoccupy us, that we don't really have time for God or for our brothers and sisters. And that's why believers of Jesus Christ, people who have already been given this new life in Christ, should all the more spur one another on toward love and good deeds, so that our love for Christ will not grow cold. We are all members of the body of Jesus Christ. And because we are members, we should not and cannot be islands. We cannot exist and should not exist all by ourselves. Now, at the end of this exhortation, the author of Hebrews points out in chapter 10, verse 25. He says, "All the more as you see the day approaching." The day approaching refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us without doubt that this is going to happen. Our Lord is coming back for sure. And all the things that are happening around the world today, whether in Canada or outside Canada, around the world, whether it is natural disasters or man-made disasters, wars or whatever, the frequency is getting higher and higher. Things are happening faster and faster. So how should we live our lives as 21st century in view of all these things that are pressing on us more and more? The author of Hebrews tells us, all the more we should encourage one another. That is, all the more we should really consider how we should spur one another on toward love and good deeds, how we should actively take part in body life, so that we can support one another, we can bear each other's burden, so that we can help each other stand firm in the faith, so that we can help each other keep that hope of salvation in Jesus Christ till He comes again. I'd like to share with you three ways by which we can look after each other. And that is, the first way is we need to have actions, and not just words, and not just, you know, thoughts. Now, in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10, Jesus Christ tells this parable about loving your neighbor, right? And you know that as the parable of the Good Samaritan. And when this man was robbed on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho, he was half dead, and nobody was taking care of him. And then a priest came by, took a good look at him, and yet went the other way. And then a Levite came by, took a good look at him, and went the other way. And it was a Samaritan who had mercy on this injured man. So he took care of him, rubbed his wound with oil, and bind his wound, and took him on his own donkey to the inn. Now, in this parable, Jesus Christ tells us action must be taken in order to meet needs satisfactorily. And also in the book of James, chapter 2, it talks about the relationship between faith and action, right? For example, in our midst, there are people who have nothing to wear. There are people who have gone hungry for a long time. But if we simply say to them, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," without really taking any specific action to meet their needs, so what good is that about our saying to them, go, I wish you well. Is that really truly the way to care for our brothers and sisters? So in order to really care for one another, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, there must be practical actions, specific actions taken right away. We thank God in our church, there are deacons, department heads, fellowship committee members, Sunday school teachers, they all serve God and minister to us. But in our church, there are many unsung heroes, like the Good Samaritan. Our Father in heaven knows who you are. Your ministry in love, your help for many other people in different kind of needs, God knows. Because of your action, you really put this vision of our church into practice. And that is, we should really love one another. We should really be fervent with one another to minister to one another. Jesus Christ says, whatever you did for one of the least of those brothers of mine, you did for me. And so on behalf of the church and the pastoral staff, I want to thank you, all these unsung heroes. Now, the second principle is, we need to understand people. We need to make an effort to understand people in order to help them satisfactorily. When we reach out to people, we need to stand in their shoes, trying to see things in their perspective, trying to understand our responsibility, how we may help them satisfactorily. We need to have this empathy. We need to be empathetic towards people who are in need. Jesus Christ says, blessed are those who are merciful, because they will receive mercy. The word mercy in Hebrew means to enter into a person's heart, to understand and observe the situation in the person's eyes, to really think about the problems, to think about the solutions, to think about the person's feelings, to feel the way he feels. Now, this is the meaning of the word mercy. And so when we reach out to people, we try not to use our own way, we try not to use our own method, but really see and assess the needs of others so that we can be empathetic, so that we can be standing in his shoes to reach out to them. Now, the third principle is, when we reach out to people, we should do so with respect. We should really do so with this kind of respect. Sometimes when we care for people, help people, and show our mercy toward people, we may, you know, have this kind of superiority complex. Oh, I am better than you. I am higher than you. I have and you don't. And sometimes we reach out to people because we want to know, what is happening in their lives, so that we may gossip, or we may use it as some sort of a criticism. Now, all this is wrong. It's a wrong attitude. When we reach out to help people, we must be sincere. We must be respectful. We must really show that, hey, I'm no better than you, but at this moment, I am willing to share your burden. I'm willing to walk with you. I'm willing to deal with the situation with you. You know, everybody is apt to fall. Everybody can falter. Everybody faces temptation. I am no exception. For those who are close to me, for example, my family members, and those who work with me, like the deacons, Charles and others, and the pastoral staff, those who are close to me, who work with me often, They know what I'm like, who I am. They know my weaknesses, and they know how I fall easily in certain areas of life. And I need their reminder. I need their help. I need their support. In the book of Galatians, Paul says this. Maybe let's turn to that too. Okay, we still have a bit of time. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. The book of Galatians, chapter 6. Chapter 6 is the last book of the letter. The last chapter of the book. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So let us read this together, this verse, all right? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so, whenever we have the opportunity, whenever we have the ability, let us hold fast to that and reach out to one another. And when we reach out to one another, let us bear in mind that God is our Father in heaven. Christ Jesus is our eldest brother. And so we should spur one another on toward love and good deeds. When we do that, others will recognize that we are Christ's disciples. And then we'll be like what this slogan says, right? Shine for Jesus. Shine for Jesus. And Jesus Christ says this, and I like to end message with his teaching. He says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." May our church truly be a place of worship, and also truly be a place where we can really practice body life. And by doing so, we'll be able to help each other to stand firm on the faith, to hold on to this glorious hope of salvation in Christ, and to really glorify our Father in heaven. Amen. So let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that you have saved us in Christ, and you have gathered us not only in the universal church, but also in this local church called the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. Oh Lord, as we live out this new life in you, may the Spirit who dwells in us empowers us and enables us to really live out this true meaning of new life through worship and through this body life every day. Lord, be glorified in our midst, and may we shine for you, that other people may be drawn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.